Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see everybody here today. Glad that you're with us. Hope you had a great week, a manageable week from all of this heat, right? It's been one of those hot ones, right? But I'm excited to see Jimmy here, excited to continue in our study over the book of Acts. And today we should finish chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, we'll be looking at verses 41 through 47. 41 through 47, if you'd like to follow along. But I'd like to start by just sharing that it was March 10th, 2020, and I had missed a phone call from a church member while I was at the 8th Region Boys Basketball Tournament there at Henry County High School. And as if you've ever been to the high school during the 8th Region Basketball Tournament, it's loud, it's busy, and a lot going on. So there's no reason that I understandable why I missed the phone call, but you usually find me there during the 8th Region Tournament, volunteering, helping with the concessions, because there's a lot going on, right? And who's always there to support. But it was because I missed the call, and because of the time in which I realized I'd missed the call, it was pretty late, so it was like mid-morning the next day before I realized that before I could get back to the church member to hear them frantically ask the question, what are we going to do about all this that's going on? Well, if you don't know this about me, I don't watch the local news. I haven't watched it for a couple of decades now. I keep up with what's going on, but I have other sources. I look things up from trusted sources and also I had no idea anything about COVID-19. And needing to make decisions for the church and not knowing anything at all. And as if you remember how quickly this whole thing progressed, I was really behind the curve. I had a lot of things I needed to do. So I assured them that we would be looking into it, figuring out what's going on. I called the leadership. We got together and began to discuss, do our research, figure out all that needed to happen and how we were going to do it. And it got down to a point where we were going to make a decision, and we decided that we were just going to go home, we were going to pray about it individually, and we make a decision on Thursday on what we were going to do. And I'm glad we did. We gave room for God to speak to each of us, and I think God unanimously spoke to all of us and what we were going to do. And we felt like that we're a church. We need to be a representative. We need to be available to all of God's people, especially in crisis. So we decided we were going to stay open. We were going to add multiple services so that we could spread out amongst different services. And we were going to be available to the community, to anyone during this time. So we agreed on that on Thursday, and we sent out a well-composed, eloquent letter explaining to everyone, announcing what our plans were about adding the additional services and all the precautions that we were going to take. And then we encouraged each family. This is for you. Your family make the decision on what you want to do that's best for you. And there'll be no judgment on our part if you don't want to come because of what all's going on. We understand. You make that decision per family. But we're going to be there. We're going to be ready to worship. And if nobody showed up, we were going to pray for an hour. And there's no harm in that, right? No harm in that. So we decided to move on. And sadly, several of the members, they didn't come back for several months. We did get some members from other churches that had shut down, and we got some new faces for people that were looking for answers and hope. But sadly, some of our members, the ones that we loved, that we'd shared life with, that we cared for, that went so long without seeing them and talking to them and just really catching up with them. You all experienced it. You know what I'm talking about. And it wasn't just the church. You go outside, there was nothing going on, was there? Everybody that's alive today, right now, that can hear my voice and understand what I'm talking about, lived through COVID-19. They, in your own unique, special way, you know exactly what I'm talking about. How things were just different, wasn't it? It was almost aggravating to where you couldn't do the things that you wanted to do, the way that you wanted to do them. Now, for those of us that had a regular job outside, case brothers, they worked every day anyway, right? Had to get out on the farm, I get that. But if you punch a clock somewhere, you enjoyed it for a little while. But that quickly got old too, didn't it? Being home. The purpose of what I'm trying to get at is that God created us for fellowship. God created us for companionship. We are supposed to be together. We are supposed to be doing things together in life. And even in as the pandemic continued, didn't we even compromise things that really would aggravate us in order to be able to be in the presence of other people? I was from March to July, every single week I called every house, every member of the church. 150 phone calls every week from March to July. And there's this one kid that just absolutely hated school. I mean, it was an issue. It was a problem. I had to go to school myself on a couple of occasions because this kid hated school that bad. And making my phone calls, one of those phone calls, one week, the son answered the phone. And I was like, "How's things going? Are you enjoying the fact that you're not having to go to school?" And his response was, "School really isn't that bad now." We compromised, didn't we? We wanted to be around people so bad that the thing that we hated the most, we was willing to go back to because we wanted to be around people. Some of the people in the church were just so antsy during the pandemic with nothing to do and not being able to be out and available. We literally put a page on the front of our website at the church to where basically you just had two options. Go to the live stream, or you could fill out a form. And on this form, it was things that you needed for somebody to do for you. Our men were just antsy. They were chomping at their bit. They wanted something to go and do. So they would fill out the form, and basically it was just, what do you need? What's the best way to get a hold of you? And when do you need it done by? Our people were going and getting groceries. And if you remember, if you just let it set for a couple, 2 or 3 hours, then the COVID is gone. You remember that? So we'd go get groceries for people and put them on the porch, ring the doorbell. A couple hours later, they'd come out and get their groceries. Go pick up medicines and things like that. One time there was having to take an animal to the vet for them. You know, just things like that. Just anything to get out and about and do things. Be involved, to be helpful in fellowship with other people. Just evidence that we were created to fellowship and be companions with other people. Isolation is the devil's workshop. If we look at the very beginning of time, what was the very first thing God did after creating the world? He brought Adam and Eve together. He ordained the very first marriage in the Garden of Eden. And what was the very first time? The very first time we're introduced to Satan, he does what he can to tear apart what God brought together. God intended us to be together. And we're going to see in our text this morning the importance of fellowship. The importance of being a group of people united together. And we're going to see that in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 41 through verse 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you that you have brought us together. You've given us a building from which we can gather. And you've given us your word for which we can unite. We thank you and we praise you, God, that we have one another. And as we see the importance within your word this morning, I pray that you bring to light, that you stir within us by your Holy Spirit this desire that you have for all of your creation. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so it starts out, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So here what we have to remember is that this the very first sermon that we looked at last week, Peter bathed that first sermon in Scripture. You remember that? Last week we looked how Peter had used the prophet Joel, how he used David on a couple of occasions in order to put together this one complete sermon that showed how God is the same God from creation until now, and that through Jesus Christ he had fulfilled all the promises that he had given them throughout all of those years, and now it has come to life. It is real. It is now available to anyone who will believe. And through that sermon, there was 3,000 that accepted this grace, this love, this power of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. So Peter's first sermon was bathed in Scripture. And we must, as a healthy church, be committed to the Word of God. It must be the standard. It must be the backbone of everything in whom we are. We can have programs. We can do all sorts of things within our church. But what we should evaluate our church is the faithfulness to Scriptures rather than the effectiveness of our programs. Are we committed? Are we following? Are we obeying the Word of God more than what we are worried about how many numbers we have? God will supply the numbers. And if we don't have the numbers, what numbers we have, we need to be faithful to the Scriptures. We need to show a true and living God. And we need to be faithful to the Scriptures, even in the tough stuff. There are some hard parts in Scripture, amen? There are some things that challenge us, that make us almost have to dig our heels in a little bit in order to muster up what needs to happen, but we need to be faithful to Scripture, all of Scripture, even the hard stuff. And it goes on, it says, and the fellowship to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Here, this breaking of bread is an example of discipleship in small groups. If you know anything about me, you know that I am a huge proponent for discipleship. I feel that discipleship is the most important thing that we as a church, any believer in the Lord Jesus Christ should be committed to, aside of Scripture and prayer. Scripture and prayer and discipleship. I think through good discipleship, you're going to get faithful Scripture reading. Through discipleship, you're going to get prayer. Through discipleship, you're going to get evangelism. Through discipleship, you're going to get this companionship and the fellowship and everything. But it all starts through our faith in Christ. Discipleship is vitally important to the health of a church, the sustaining of a church. And it's a good way for discipleship is through small groups. You have multiple small groups throughout the day. And we're going to see that through the book of Acts, how they were committed to going from house to house and growing in faith and understanding through the Word of God with other believers. So this is a good example of discipleship in small groups. And I would say that this is needed more than ever in our society. Throughout all of history, this is needed more than ever. Even before COVID. Even before COVID, it's become an issue, a major issue. That it had become a popularized term back in the early 2000s, screenagers. It was a group of children that were being introduced and being raised, and we're all falling into it. Now, we're all guilty of it, but there's literally not much that we can do unless we got a screen in front of us. Being a parent, I understand it's real easy to throw a tablet in front of a kid so you can get the house cleaned or so that you can get supper cooked. But they get used to those screens, and they can't do anything unless they can see it on the screen. Our society has turned to that, and that screen is creating a self-centeredness that is really replacing this need for fellowship. This self-centeredness, and let me just point out the fact that if you've got a phone in your pocket or in your purse, I want you to think about this for me. With just a second, contacts, they're all the people you want to talk to. You can get on Facebook, all the people you want to know what's going on in their life. Your social media, you follow the people that you are interested in. If you're bored at work, or if you're in a hospital waiting room or whatever, a doctor's office, and you got time, you're going to stream a video or a movie that you are interested in. The very thing in our pocket that we resort to so quickly in a downtime or in moments of apathy, if you will, is catered to us. That self-centeredness is being created, and we're dependent upon it. Very few people today will turn around and go get their Bible, but they ain't going to leave the house without having their phone with them, right? Come on, I might be stepping on a few toes. I might even be messing up a few of the shine, but am I right? We're not going to get too far without our phones, are we? And it's creating this self-centeredness in us to which we don't care about anyone around us. I had a mid-morning meeting one time in Cracker Barrel. And I know it was mid-morning, so there wasn't going to be a whole lot of people there anyways. I get that. But still, while I was there, when I was blessing the meal before I eat it with my buddy there, I just noticed how quiet it was. We went ahead and had our meeting there, had our talk, and we got up and left. And I still, throughout the time, kept noticing how quiet it was. So on the way out, I began to look, and I noticed, and I began to count. There were 38 people in the dining room at Cracker Barrel at that moment that I was counting, 37 of which were on their phone. The one that was not on a phone was a little kid playing a little peg game all by themselves, sitting across the table from one another on their phone. Now, that was one case. It's not every time you go to a restaurant, but you know what I'm talking about. When we are called to fellowship, it's going to cost us something. We're going to have to do some things that we may not want to do. I'm not saying we're going to do bad things. It's just the fact that we've got to do something that somebody else wants to do. We're going to hear things that we're not going to want to hear. It's not that we're going to hear bad things all the time, but we're going to hear stuff that we're really not going to want to hear, right? We're going to have to spend time that we'd much rather spend somewhere else doing something that we want to do. Folks, I can tell you, when it comes to spending time with one another and fellowshipping with one another and growing in faith and understanding with one another, It takes a sacrifice. It's not easy to do, especially in our society today. It's not easy to do. To show up here every Wednesday night, I know some of you that show up, it's kind of like, I really don't want to go. Once you get here, I hope you're like, oh, I'm so glad to come. But to get out of your house and say, I can just skip tonight, right? To be here on a Sunday morning, I can just stay here. I went last week. It's easy to do, but you got to make yourself do it. It comes at a cost. It is a sacrifice. And for the kids in the room, I need you to hear me. The kids in the room, your parents do it every single day for you. Parents, I expected an amen. Your parents love you, and that's why they sacrifice for you every single day. Your parents want the best for you. They want to see you happy. They want to see you succeed, so they are there with you. They're sacrificing their time, the things that they want to do, so that you can be better, so that you can be happy. And this is the same picture of a God that left the comfort. A God that left the comforts of heaven. The place we're trying to get to come down here to give us a better life. I'm talking about sacrifice. And we got a whole world. We got a house right back here. The third world has been shattered. And he sacrificed just a little bit. And the number one thing, we're going to collect an offering and thank you for that. And money helps. But the number one thing you can give anybody, the biggest blessing you can give anybody, is your time. Because anybody that knows, realizes that time is the most precious thing that we have. You can have more money than anybody else, and you can give more money than anyone else. But if you're willing to give your time, it's worth more than any money. Think about it. Have somebody come over to your house and sit down with you and take their time to share with you. A whole lot more, better than a $20 bill, isn't it? They show that they care about you, that they really care about you. Fellowshipping comes at a cost. I know I'm beating this dead horse. I know. But I'm telling you, it is so important. And it's one of those things that we really have to fight. It's something that we really have to make a priority. And we were created for fellowship. If you haven't gotten that through the opening illustration, we can go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. God created the first man. He goes on and creates the Garden of Eden and all the plants and all the things that are in the Garden of Eden. And in verse 15, God puts Adam in the garden in order to tend to it. And then verse 18, it says, Then the Lord God said, It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. Now in verses 19 and 20, if you continue to read, you will see that God creates all of the animals before he creates Eve. He creates all the animals and he brings all those animals before Adam in order that they are to be named. But nothing satisfies Adam. Look at the end of verse 20. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. Then you go on and you look at verses 21 and 22. We understand why he did it the way that he did it. So the Lord calls a deep sleep. He goes on to say that he creates a woman from the rib of man. And then in verse 23, it goes with this. Adam says these words, This at last. Adam saw all of the living creatures that God brought before him. And he knew nothing would be a companion for him. I think God did this on purpose. I think God did this intentionally so that Adam would know that God's plan and God's design was good. Out of all the things that are created on this earth, I'm going to bring before you, you're going to see a buffalo, you're going to see rhinoceros, you're going to see fly, you're going to see all these different animals that have come before you, but you're not going to be able to relate with any one of them, but here comes woman. I also want to throw a side note, guys. He built Adam in one verse. It took two verses to build Eve, all right? Just want you to know, be patient with your wife, all right? I don't know where that comes from. Forgive me, Lord. But this is a solid argument, I believe, for today against bestiality. This is a solid argument today against homosexuality. And this is a solid argument today for fellowship. And don't we fight all three today? This is the need. This is the understanding. And I believe that this is where we need to really take our thought process. Reminder that this purpose, the purpose for this series, is to reconnect us with God's design for the church. Although we're going to see changes as they figure things out, as they build this new church, as they build this New Testament church according to God's design, they're going to make changes that make it even better. But there's things that don't change. Fellowship, communion, discipleship, and small groups never changes. This is God's design. This is God's purpose. So in verses 44 and 45, we see things such as all who believed were together. Now this is more evidence of fellowship, right? They stayed together. They did life together. They grew in understanding according to the scriptures that were being taught to them together. But one misunderstanding is that they were just solely living together, never doing anything else. No, they went to work. They did life. They did what they needed to do through life, but their priority, they made it a priority to commune together, to be with other believers. We can't isolate ourselves as believers, as Christians. We cannot isolate ourselves from the rest of the world. The rest of the world needs us. Being here with other believers, communing with others, and growing in your faith and understanding of the Scriptures is a priority, is a must. It helps us, prepares us, and enlists us to be soldiers out in the world. The world needs us. But we also need each other. There's a happy medium here. We need to be able to come together and grow and become strong in order to go out into the world and be an example and be a light into the world. And this is what we're seeing from this group in verses 44 and 45. It goes on and says that they have all things in common and they were selling things. Now, another misconception is that they were just selling all their possessions, taking their money, throwing it in a pool from which everyone that needed something could just pull out of. That wasn't the case. What we need to understand going on here, from what I understand it to be, is that they were circumcising their hearts. They were circumcising their lives. They were getting rid of the things that were distractions in their life, so that they could totally focus on the Word of God, to be in communion with other people and being usable vessels in the world. And all of that excess, they were putting it to good use of helping one another in order to go out and be usable vessels in this world. There's things in our life, and we know there's things in our life, and it might be even in our pockets, that we need to cut out, slow down, get in control of. I'm guilty of it. I got daily challenges and I can't get away from them. I got to do my Sudoku and I got to do my math crossword puzzle. Keeps me sharp, right? Keeps me sharp, be able to read tape measure and all that, right? I got to be able to do my math. I got to practice it every day, don't I? We got to get rid of things to where they are becoming idols, becoming gods in our lives. I want to say this. I don't think it's an accident that the logo of our cell phone is an apple with a bite taken out of it. We need to get a hold of some things in our life, and maybe we need to circumcise some things in our own lives so that we're not distracted from the things that God has for us to do. We have to understand that what they were doing by selling all things and being all things in common is that they were willing to do without in order to take care of those in need. We see this in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves, that each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. The church's main reason of existence is not to pay one another deals. Our existence is to point you to Jesus Christ and give you the best opportunity to worship and know Jesus Christ. That's why we exist. And along the way, as we're doing what we're supposed to do, we're going to lend hands. We're going to be helpful. And maybe from time to time, yes, we may even be able to help you pay your bills. But we must not go to the extreme and be so isolated that we do not know what's going on around us. A missional ministry is aware of what's happening in the community. In verse 47, It says, praising God and having favor with all the people. This is a good picture of personal evangelism. You're going to be able to relate with the people in your circles a lot better than I could or someone else could. You're going to know what's going on in their life. You're going to know what's happening, what's to be expected in this general area. Personal evangelism. They're going out. They know the needs in the community, and they're meeting them. They're in the community. They're meeting the needs. They're sharing truth. They're being open and available. Being open and available. And I want to illustrate this with knowing not just this church, but all churches have unspoken rules. And they're fine, but they're not always fine to those out there. That they see how you're dressed when you walk in the church and saying, well, I don't have a wardrobe that matches that, so I'm not welcome at that church. Even though we would welcome them, right? Even though that, but they see that stuff. That they hear us say things about other people, and they're thinking, well, I don't know what's wrong with that. Well, if that's the way they believe in that church, then I'm not welcome there. It happens. I'm guilty of it. We're all guilty of it. It just happens. We're doing life. We make mistakes. We're sinners in need of Christ. There's unspoken things that are out there. We need to be in the mindset. We need to be in the mindset that we're looking for ways to make this place inviting. That no matter what you're wearing, no matter what color the skin is, no matter your background, you're welcome. Now, I'm not saying we compromise the scriptures, our beliefs, even the gospel. But when they come to the door, we need to be glad that they're here. We need to be welcoming regardless of what's going on in their life. They're in the building. And I'll do my part. I'll promise they'll hear the gospel and let God do the rest. This is a church that's what it says here, having favor with all the people. As a New Testament church, let us become welcoming, open to fellowshipping with one another, and including whoever God brings to us into the mission of the church. I've said this on Wednesday nights a couple of times. This breaking of bread that you read in the scripture, let's translate that today is, let's go get a cup of coffee. Go and get to know people. Meet them where they're at over a cup of coffee. It's not intrusive. It's available. And let's get to know you. Let's get personal. And let's see how God can impact their lives. Now, I know not everybody's type A. I know not everybody's going to go and say, hey, let's go, you know, and go. I get that. Leave that to Nancy, right? Leave that to Darren, right? let's do this. Come on, yeah. Not everybody's out of the way. But we've looked for 3 weeks now how powerful the Holy Spirit is, providing and equipping the believer in the areas in which they're weak. Remember that? He provides the areas in which you're weak in order that you're strong, in order to be on mission for God. That's what the Holy Spirit does, among other things. If you're not that person, won't you pray? God, equip me. Put someone in my life that I can show your power, because I'm outside my comfort zone, and bring glory to you because I've been able to share how much you love them with them. Folks,
fellowshipping costs. As you can tell, either through COVID, through the scriptures, through other means of life, we're meant to be together. And there's a whole world out there that needs the exact same thing. They need to be a part of a family that will love them, care for them, show them the truth, give them hope of eternity that will bring them everlasting joy. Heavenly Father, we do love you and thank you and praise you that you are that great God. You've promised, you've provided, you have prevailed, and you have offered opportunity for each of us to know you, to serve you, to be open and available for you for or for others to know you. Lord God, I pray that today we take serious the opportunity, although a sacrifice, take serious the opportunity to be available to others, to make them a priority over ourselves, so that you can do what you do, and that your kingdom be expanded for it. If we are weak, may we trust you for the strength to do what you've called us to do. And may you receive the glory for it all. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.